so nice to see the children on the grounds. I love to see them. And, you know, it's, I'm at a phase in my life where now young people that I knew as children are now married and having children of their own. And that's great to see. And when I go to Ridgewood, I see all these families now with babies. And I come to camp, and we get to meet these lovely children. And I remember when we had ours. Natalie was our first, and it was a great day when she took her first step. It was at my grandmother's house, I remember. We were gathered there for my grandmother's birthday, and my sister-in-law, Donna, was sitting across the room, and she was jingling her car keys, and all of a sudden, Natalie walked across the room, and we were, whoa, all excited. Look, we grabbed the video camera, and we tried to film her, and then she hadn't stopped doing it for about a month afterwards. I guess she was teasing us. But, you know, if you don't have a child that walks, when time goes on, you get concerned. You know, you got to take that first step and then learn to go forward. Praise God. You know, God looks for that in His children, too. He looks for us to take steps and to walk with Him. And I want to talk a little bit about that walk tonight before we partake of communion and then pray for our staff. Praise God. So we've got a number of things to do in a short time, and I think we can do that by God's grace. Praise God. I remember Dr. Gray. Does anyone remember Dr. Gray? He used to visit Pilgrim Camp. He wasn't a medical doctor. He was a theologian, and he was dean of Brother Schambach's Bible School. Remember Brother Schambach? When I was a teenager, R.W. Schambach, we all used to listen to him. He got us all excited. In Bible school, we enjoyed his preaching, and some of the students tried to sound like him. I just saw him the other day on YouTube. Brother Schambach, that was great. Well, Brother Schambach, one time in one of his sermons, he was talking about a man at the Bible school, one of his teachers. And he said, that man, I used to just love the way he walked. I used to watch him walk, and it just thrilled my soul to watch him walk. He walked with God. He walked in God. And I found out he was talking about Brother Gray. And I'm sure that was the case. He was a godly man, and he had the anointing of the Lord upon him. And he lived close to the Lord, and you could feel that and see that in him. I thank God for people like that. And God has brought a number of them into my life to show me what God can do if I really give him a chance in my life. They tell us that Brother Frank Posta, now he was a minister in the Ridgewood Fellowship. Brother Ernie Walfogel is pastoring the church where Brother Posta and Sister Emma pastored for many years. Brother Frank and Sister Emma married my parents, and they dedicated myself and my brother and my two sisters. And they tell us that when Brother Frank was with Hans Walfogel, when he first came to New York, and he was living there in the faith home and sort of training for ministry, he was walking with Brother Hans once, and Brother Hans said, Frank, you need to learn how to walk. Now, Frank was you know, a young man by then already, but he was walking with Brother Hans, and Brother Hans didn't like the way he walked. Maybe there was some nervousness in his walk or whatever. But Brother Hans wanted to teach him how to walk in God, how to keep in touch with God and keep the anointing and the touch of God upon your life. Brother Hans, from what I understand, lived that way, and he tried to teach others how to walk with God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 17 for a moment, and let's see what the Bible has to say about our walk. Maybe some of us need to learn how to walk. I'm sure I could walk better than I do. Praise God. Here the Lord is talking to Abraham. His name is Abraham. Abram at this time. He was 90 years old. And now the Lord's trying to teach Abram to walk at 90. The Lord, and when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Here, God was trying to teach Abraham something. He said, I'm the Almighty God, all-powerful. Walk before me and be thou perfect. If you want your life to be what God wants it to be, if you want to be perfected, then you need to learn to walk before God. That was simple. What did he mean by that? Walk before me and be thou perfect. God wanted Abram to understand that God was always with him, and that he wanted him to keep that in his consciousness. Lord, your eye is always upon me. You're with me right now. You're with me when I feel it. You're with me when I don't feel it. You're with me in trouble. You're with me when things are going well. When I'm sleeping, your eye is always upon me. And Lord, when I awake in the morning, I find that I'm still with you. You're right there. And evidently, God began to make Abram conscious of the fact that he was always watching him. He was always mindful of him, and not only of his outward circumstances, but of his deepest thoughts and desires. He knew him inside out. And he didn't want Abram to forget that. He said, if you live with that consciousness, you'll find that it will produce something in your life. Changes will come to you that I will make just by you recognizing that I'm with you. David said it this way. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He says, I have determined to always recognize that God is with me. And because I do that, because I know that he's with me, I'm not going to move off the path. He's going to keep me walking on the right path, and he's going to keep working in my life and perfecting that which concerns me. We call that practicing God's presence when you recognize the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to help us to do that, because we so easily forget that he's there. We so easily get distracted, get all taken up with the things that we're doing. Has that ever happened to you, that you've been busy with something and then suddenly the Holy Spirit reminds you that Jesus is with you and he loves you, and then you realize, wow, I hadn't been thinking about that for a long time. Lord, thank you for your love. Help me to include you in my thoughts and in everything I do. And even when I'm busy doing other things, Lord, let that sense of your nearness abide with me somehow. And you know, if we ask the Lord to do that for us and we practice that, we get into the habit, God begins to take over. And we find that it's much easier during the day and night to think about the Lord. He's always in our thoughts. Praise God. When I knew he was in Brother George's thoughts, I said, how you doing, George? Praise the Lord, he said. I said, how you doing, George? Praise the Lord, I'm praising the Lord. That was Brother George Goronsky. He was thinking about the Lord when I asked him how he was doing. And I guess he thinks about the Lord a lot. And, you know, we need to do that. I remember a story. You probably heard this before. But I was reading a book, and this man said, you know, when my boss came over to the house, we had dinner for my boss, and so we were sitting around the table, and we were eating, and I had my children there, and I asked my son, oh, Billy, can you please pass the salt? And, Jenny, take your elbows off the table, you know, and Freddie, stop feeding the dog, and, you know, whatever it was, you know, after the boss left, my kid said, what was up with Dad? He was so polite, and he didn't yell at us once at the table. He said, please take your elbows off the table, and instead of saying, stop feeding that dog, and, you know, get him out of the kitchen, oh, don't feed the dog, it's not good for him. And the husband, the father, thought, I guess that's true, I was kind of different. Why was I so sweet? Why was I so polite? And then he realized, oh, because the boss was there. Just knowing that the boss was sitting at the table, just knowing that he had company, without any effort, he became the nicest guy. so polite, so kind. It wasn't something he was putting on. It wasn't something he was struggling to do. It just was a behavior that he knew was somehow expected of him, and being conscious of the fact that he had a guest at the table, he was just naturally nicer. And this man told that story in the book to illustrate that just thinking of Jesus and being aware that he's with us has that type of effect on your life. You don't have to try to be good. You don't have to try to be loving. It just seems to just come more naturally when we're in touch with him. And so the Lord said, Abraham, I want you to walk before me. And as you do, you will be perfected in that way. Isn't that nice that the Lord had made it so sweet? Oh, just stay close to me. Just think about me. And changes will come. And it won't be a big effort, and it won't be a big struggle. But there are so many changes that I can just bring in your life, into your life, if you'll just learn to keep your heart and mind stayed on me. Praise God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. There's just a few more verses. Here Moses is speaking now, the Lord through Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And in the fourth verse, you shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and follow his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Here he's telling us that we need to walk after the Lord. Another translation says you need to follow him. Jesus often went about and approached someone, said simply, follow me. Change the direction of your life and stop doing what you're doing and come and follow me and do what I tell you to do and follow my example and so on. I remember a time in my life when I began to follow the Lord and just beginning to get into the Word of God and wanting to learn how Jesus wanted me to live and asking him to help me to live that way. It changed the whole direction of my life. You know, I sometimes try to think, what would my life be like if I hadn't followed the Lord? Where would I be today? You ever think about that? I look at some of the friends I hung out with, and I saw where they ended up, and I probably wouldn't have been too far from them. I probably would have gotten into the same trouble that they got into, maybe, or got bound by the same things that bound them, or who knows who I'd be with if I hadn't followed the Lord. You know, what people there would be in my life. How I would be living. You know, when Jesus calls you to follow him, he wants to lead you out of one life into something much more wonderful. And I'm so glad that I was young when the Lord began to get hold of me and made me hear that call, follow me. And then began to teach me how to do that. Praise God. And we follow Jesus by obeying his word, following his example, following his teaching. And as we do, God begins to lead us and begins to open doors for us and move us in directions that our life would have never gone had we not chosen by God's grace to follow him. Praise God. I wouldn't be here at Pilgrim Camp if I wasn't following the Lord, obviously, nor behind this pulpit. I wouldn't be preaching in Canarsie. And, you know, sometimes I tell the people, you know, I would, all of you that I know and love would have never been a part of my life at all if I hadn't followed Jesus Christ and you hadn't followed him. God brings people into your life and so many wonderful experiences. And, you know, the life, there's one life that we live doing our own thing, and you can choose that life if you want to. But when Jesus calls you and says, come, follow me, oh, he has something so much better for you. And what we would miss if we didn't follow Jesus, what we would deny ourselves. And so here Jesus, through Moses here, the Spirit of God tells the people, walk after the Lord. follow his commandments and allow God to take you on where he wants you to be. Here's another one. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. Here God's talking to Noah. I know he said this to other people as well, or said this about other people. But in Genesis 5, we're told, what verse is that here? 24. Genesis 5, 24. And, it wasn't Noah, it was Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I think the Bible does say something about Noah, that he walked with God as well. And there are some others that God mentioned that they walked with God. So we have walk before God. Always be conscious that he's with you, that his eye is upon you, that he's lovingly attentive to you night and day. And walk after God. Learn to obey him and follow his commandments. Go where he wants you to go. Learn to do what he wants you to do. And you'll never be sorry. Praise God. And then here it tells us, walk with him. And that talks about fellowship. That talks about having a relationship with him. An intimate, close fellowship with the Lord. God wants to bring us into that. That's really what salvation is all about. Before we were saved, we were separated. There was a wall of separation between us and God because of our sins. But Jesus removed the sin, and he tore the veil open, and he welcomed us to come, enter into his presence, and experience a relationship with God that you couldn't experience apart from his working. And then he calls us and says, I want you to learn to walk with me. I want you to keep in touch with me. I want you to experience me night and day. Not just in church. Sometimes people have this idea, church is where I meet God. But you know, I'm more and more hungry to walk with God on the streets of Canarsie, when I drive my car, wherever I am. I often say, Lord, you're with me right now. I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want to feel your presence. I want to know your nearness, Lord. I want to know that you're right here with me, and I want to enjoy your presence. I want to be satisfied just knowing that I belong to you and that you live within my heart. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be content with such things as we have. Now, I've heard my parents tell me that, you know, stop complaining. Be happy with what you got. But that's not really what it means. It means, because he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, you can be content with the things that you have because your contentment is not based on what you have, but it's based on who you have. If I have a relationship with Jesus, and I learn to be so satisfied with his presence in my life, when he becomes my dearest friend, and I just experience his love and care over me, that brings such a contentment, such a completion in my life that I can be content with other things. It doesn't matter whether I have much or I have little. If I have him, I have everything. And if I don't have him, then nothing else can satisfy. You know, when you have Jesus like that, every relationship becomes better. When you, as a husband, learn to really find contentment in Jesus and learn to walk with him, then you become a better husband. And you can love your wife better. And the wife can love the husband better too, and so on. And so sometimes we try to find that in each other, and we drain each other dry because we're expecting something that they can't give. God wants to be the one that brings contentment into our life and satisfaction, and that comes by knowing him and walking with him. He wants us to learn to do that. And then there's one more, and the last one here is in Galatians chapter 5. And There in Galatians, we read about the works of the flesh, and we also read about the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. And there in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul uses another expression in talking about walking as a Christian. 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then the 25th verse I have written down here too. It says here, meekness, temperance, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now he talks about walking in the Spirit. And there the Apostle Paul's talking about coming under the control of the Holy Ghost, letting the Holy Spirit manifest his power and subdue your old nature and live out his life in and through you. And God doesn't want to fix you up. God wants to do away with your old life. He wants to subdue it, and he wants to cause a new life to emerge in your heart. And he wants to live in our bodies, and he wants to bring us under his control. And that's something very real that God wants to do for us, where he begins to just take over in our life. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're not talking about like a cup being filled with water. To be filled with a person means to come under the control of that person. And we read about that in our devotion this morning, that God, the Holy Spirit, is a person that lives in our hearts. He becomes our very life. It's the life of Jesus himself. And these are things that we want to learn better. And we find that as we open our hearts to the Lord and we worship him and we just yield ourselves to God, that the Spirit of God begins to take over in our lives. He begins to make changes. He begins to break bondages. He begins to cause us to be more like Christ himself. It's less of us and more of Jesus coming forth. And that's ultimately what God is after. Oh, he wants us to walk in the Spirit, and he wants us to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't happen overnight, but it happens as we yield ourselves to God. That's why we always encourage Christians as we come together. Come on now, we got to open up to God, yield ourselves to him, offer ourselves to him. Let's praise him. Let's worship. Let's get our eyes on him. Because as we open ourselves up to him like that, he begins to manifest his power, his controlling power in our lives. And then we realize that things are different. The things that used to overcome, I used to be overcome by, somehow now I am overcoming. I'm victorious. Jesus has done it. He himself is living the life that God is after in me. And so, how's your walk as a Christian? Have you learned to take the first step, walk before me? Oh, we ought to ask the Lord to help us. Lord, remind me every day that you're with me. Remind me often during the day. Help me to do things to remind myself. Oh, it'll make such a difference in your life. You really ought to try it. I remember as a young person, I was at a retreat. It wasn't at Pilgrim Camp. You know, God's in other places too. And I was at a retreat with young people. And when I came home, Jesus seemed so near to me, and that seemed to linger. And I wondered, what happened? How did that happen? And then the Lord reminded me, well, when I woke up in the morning, I had devotions. I read the Bible or some devotional and spent a little time with the Lord. Then when I went to breakfast, we sang a song and got our eyes on the Lord again and prayed for our meal. And sometimes we talked to other Christians about how good God was. And then at lunch, we did the same thing, and supper, and we had meetings in between. And I realized that I had spent so much time just thinking about Jesus that it made a change in me. And I thought, you know, I could do that at home, too. I could get into the habit of, you know, there are these helps, church and other gatherings that help us to get our eyes on the Lord. But in between time, I could learn to do that. And so I asked the Lord, Jesus, teach me how to keep my eyes on you, to walk with you, and then to follow your commandments, and then to, what did we say? And then to have fellowship with you, and then, oh God, just to live in Christ and let Christ live in me. Praise God. So maybe that's what Brother Hans was talking about when he told Brother Poster, Frank, you need to learn how to walk. Praise God. Oh, you walk like that, people notice it. People say, there's something about your walk. I can't put my finger on what it is, but there's something different about the way you live. Christians will notice that. And in that way, we can be a blessing to those around us. You know, our counselors are going to be busy in the next week or two. And children are coming up tomorrow. And they tell us that kids will forget most of what you say, but they'll never forget you. And they'll never forget your walk, how you lived before them. And if we could walk in such a way that we'd carry the presence of God with us, that there'd be a godliness about us, a holiness that, not the put-on holiness that makes us look down on people, but a real beautiful holiness of just letting Jesus shine through our lives, his love, his purity, that we'd constantly be under his anointing. That's something that would make a deep and lasting impression upon everyone that we minister to. And so we want to have faith for that tonight. We want to believe that God will help our counselors to walk with him and be perfect at this time. Praise God.